Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word once again. Help us to always be eager to do that and to have that hunger to dig deep into the scriptures, to find that faith-building knowledge that gives us the strength, gives us the understanding, gives us the wisdom, gives us the boldness to step out and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior. We thank you so much for that opportunity. Be with us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Jesus Christ is the true light, light of the world. This is one of the things I was teaching the children of VBS was when we handed out these little flashlights. Is anytime you turn on that light, think of the light of Jesus Christ. Anytime you turn on a light switch at home, think of the light of Jesus Christ. Anytime you come out and you see the sun, think of Jesus Christ. He spoke it all into existence. John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So it's more than just the array, the illumination that we see from the process that we recognize as being light, like we have turned on in here, and like we see coming from the sun through the windows. He spoke that into existence, of course, right from the very beginning, the first day. But it's more than that. It is the revealing, the uncovering of things, that light, that effect that it has, that it clears things out of the way. So we need to understand light in more than just the way of the illumination of the appearance that we see, the darkness versus the light in that sense. It's what is concealed and what is revealed. So anytime you're doing a study or you're looking through the scriptures and you're reading about light, you've got to understand what kind of light is he speaking of. Because here he's talking about the light of the world and the light of life. He will reveal everything. Everything is going to be manifest, as it says in the Word. And over in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we see here where he explains one of my favorite sections. As you know, I go to this quite often. In John chapter 1, pick it up right here in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was... In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is manifest himself. He will reveal himself. That light will shine into every single person before they leave this world. They will see and know that there is a God. They have that opportunity to deny him, to turn away from him, or to receive him. They have that choice. All. Before facing the great judgment day, everyone will have been revealed Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They didn't want to accept him. Did they see him? He revealed himself. They turned away. Wanted to go back into the darkness. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the one who spoke everything into existence, one who spoke light itself into existence, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So we have the two different kinds of lights here. We have the light of Jesus Christ, the revealing power of Him, and we have the light, the array that we see around us. And He uses that. He uses His creation all the time to teach us, to display to us, to reveal to us His existence, the very Godhead itself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as it says in Romans chapter 1. Is manifest, is revealed, that is lightened to us, enlightened to those who want to receive it. Satan has everybody walking around with a bag over the head in darkness, stumbling about, bumping into things. By choice, many will hold that bag down over their head tightly, even when the Lord, through the Holy Ghost, is asking them to release that, to let that bag go, to pull it off their head and to see and look at Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Lord and Savior and let His light come into them. But too many times they don't. They hold that. They like the darkness. They think that their sins, their behaviors can be hid in the darkness. So they like that. Did you see the crimes? Most of the crimes, violent crimes and so forth, even burglaries or whatever, they happen all day long. But a lot of them, more so, are in hiding, in darkness. Sinful behavior, more of that, occurs in the darkness. Some of these places people go to dabble in their sins, very dark. They don't want to be recognized. They don't want to be seen. Want to dabble in their sins. Want it to be hidden. But Jesus Christ will expose all of that because His light will reveal everything. The gift that He gave us of this light is there because He loves us. He loved the entire world so much that He come down and took on flesh, lived amongst us, died, crucified, raised again, ascended to the Father for us, providing us an opportunity to become one of the family. As He tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That light is Jesus Christ. He has come down. He's given us that ability to see. Do we receive it? Do we accept it? Or do we keep our eyes closed, keep them dark? And the men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They wanted to stay in that darkness so they could be hidden. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Worked in God. Christians, walking the straight and narrow, prayed up, productive, motivated, fired up Christians, are really eagerly looking forward to Judgment Day. Because they know their works, their faith, their trust will all be revealed. And they're anxious for that. Because they know He's promised us over and over through here, that we will receive rewards for that. But those that have done wrong, those that are on the sidelines, that have gotten into their sins, even the Christians that are not doing what they're supposed to do, are terrified of judgment. They're terrified of death. I've been with people right before they died. I've been with Christians that were so solid, so true to the Lord that there was no fear in them. They weren't worried about it. They were like, "All right, Lord, I'm ready to go. Waiting on you now. You know, take me on home." Ready to go. And I've had others that were scared to death, so fearful of them dying. And I wonder, what relationship did they have? How true were they to their beliefs in Jesus Christ? How faithful had they been? Were they anxious to meet the Lord? Were they ready to go? Or were they kind of worried because they didn't know if they had things quite right? I've had people that have been in church for many years ask me to come see them when they know they are terminal and have prayer with them to give them that once little, that additional little encouragement, to let them know, yes, everything's all right. Because the devil will take that time in their life and try to confuse them and scare them and get them worried and start bringing up things in their past and saying, "Oh, yeah, you're really going to be in trouble now because you're about to face the Lord," and scare them. So it's important that when we're dealing with people that are in that condition or approaching their last days, that we encourage them and let them know that we have Jesus Christ, the Advocate. We go to Him, we ask Him to forgive us, and He will. He'll cleanse us completely. Even if we've been a disobedient Christian, and you have time to speak to Him before you leave this world, get it right, get it taken care of. So when you leave this world, you're not worried about it. You're laying there with peace. Because you know that you're going to be before the Lord, the true light, and that everything will be revealed. You'll be receiving rewards for what you've done as a Christian. Because we know that God is the light. He is the revealer. Everything will be revealed by Him in 1 John, the Epistle of John. Verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's awesome that we have that available to us all the time. It isn't just a one-time thing that, yeah, I remember back when I was 12 years old, I gave my life to the Lord and haven't asked for forgiveness ever since. Well, you need to ask for forgiveness every single day. You know good and well when you stumble. You know good and well when you mess up. The Holy Ghost lets you know that. So get it right immediately. Don't wait till the end of the day when you have your prayers before you go to sleep. Don't wait till the Lord calls you to a point where He really, really gets your attention to then start saying, "Lord, forgive me." Do it continuously. Do it constantly. You know when you mess up. Get it right immediately. Say, "Lord, forgive me. Give me the strength not to fall into that temptation again. Give me the strength not to stumble in that way. Give me the strength to overcome these obstacles and resist the devil and he'll flee from you." So much that we have challenged, so much that we have to face. If we stay in the light, as He just said, we are of the light. We are the children of light when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because He indwells us in the form of the Holy Ghost, then we have His light in us if we let that light shine. There's a song out back in the 70s, 80s. "There's a little light in all of us." Well, there's a little light in all of us Christians. That's the light of Jesus Christ. And we do need to let that light shine because it's His light. And that will light our pathway, as well as illuminate us as being something different when people see us. They don't see darkness, they see the light of Jesus Christ. So that they can be drawn to that light. Kind of like in the summer when you have your porch light on and all these bugs start coming and love to get around the light. If you have the right kind of light, you're going to draw people in. The light of Jesus Christ will draw them in. They'll want to come and see. There's something different about you, and it's that light of Jesus Christ that's shining through you. And they're going to want to know what it is. And then you have an opportunity to share the gospel with them so that they can have the light, so that they can have that bag pulled off of their head and see the path that they need to be on. The light of Jesus Christ can illuminate all that for them. If you are a willing vessel to contain the light of Jesus Christ and to share that light with others. It's an awesome opportunity as well as responsibility. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, we were reading earlier in Colossians about Christian behavior, and in Ephesians he speaks of Christian behavior again here to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. What is the child like? They are eager to learn. They are humble. They are submissive. They are desiring to please. Like some of you are. Where you meet them kids at? We ain't seen them lately. But that's the way a child is supposed to be. And we need to come to the Lord in that way. Humble, willing to learn, eager to please. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now you know, he's not talking to the world here. He's not talking to a bunch of ungodly people. He's talking to Christians. And this ungodly behavior is amongst the Christians that he's speaking to there in Ephesus. So it isn't that you become born again and all of a sudden you are totally sinless and everything that you do is wonderful and great and you never sin again, like we just read in 1 John there. If you claim that you're not sinning, then you're a liar anyway, because you just sinned by saying that. You just lied. We know we fail. We're still in this human body. We're still fallible. But get it right when you fail. Get the strength, grow from that, experience that, and learn from it, and move forward. And don't let Satan beat you up with it. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Something we forget to do. It's great that we have the annual event of Thanksgiving Day to focus people's attention on giving thanks, but we need to be giving thanks every single moment of our existence for the very fact that we have life itself. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We don't want to be partakers with the world, those that are disobedient. We don't want to assist them and help them stay in their sinful ways, or to associate with them, partake with them. It's amazing, this new thing that's going on now, this Facebook stuff where people are posting all kinds of stuff. It's very revealing, the pictures that they post on there. It's like, where do they think these pictures are going? They're going out there and they ain't ever coming back. And some of the behavior that is illustrated and displayed in these pictures that are being posted on Facebook that's been brought to my attention many times, of the behavior of some of these so-called Christians that I know. I'm like, now wait a minute, you're right there in the midst of this group that are doing things that you know good and well Christians don't do. You are holding things and in a suggestive way that you are partaking of those things. And that is not a good testimony. That is not a good light that you are shining. That is sinful behavior. You are hurting your testimony. You are hurting those around that are looking at you as being the one to have as the example. And they seem to be proud of it, and they're posting it. They're plastering it all over the world because that goes everywhere. Thinking, oh no, it only goes to my friends. Think again. If it goes on the internet, it goes to everywhere. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Do you want the wrath of God coming upon you? Do you want to have prosperity, peace of mind while you're here in this world? Do you want the full blessings of God? Do you want the full joy of your salvation? If you do, do what the Lord tells you to do. Keep His commandments. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Who? The disobedient children. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't be walking around in the darkness, acting like the darkness, displaying the darkness. You need to reveal the light of Jesus Christ. Because when you become born again, you are a child of God. You are representing Jesus Christ. So everything that you do, every moment of your existence, since the time that you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, better be on the straight and narrow, better be on the up and up, better be revealing Jesus Christ and His love. Otherwise, you're in that category where it says, these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Do you want the wrath of God to come upon you? Way too many times we're thinking, well, He's a loving God. He's not going to hurt us. He's not going to bother us at all. We're going to just be able to do whatever we please because we're a Christian now. That we're not bound by the law anymore. We have freedom from that. Our salvation is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, not how obedient I am as a Christian. Satan can use the truth against us, as we were teaching earlier. Yes, we are the children of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, the children of God, the brothers and sisters through Christ, the one who spoke us all into existence. We have that. We are not bound by the law. But we need to know that we will be held accountable for everything that we do now and for eternity. We need to take it to the Lord, get forgiveness, move away from that, and do what He wants us to do. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. He is going to reveal it all. It's all going to be out there. It's all going to be judged. It's all going to be looked at by Jesus Christ. 14. Wherefore, He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand His will? By studying His Word, by listening to the Holy Ghost. He'll give us the understanding we need. He'll give us the courage, the boldness, the wisdom, opportunities every single day. If we stay tapped into Him by studying His Word and listening to the Holy Ghost, praying continuously. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. These songs that the singers sing up here, they're not just for your entertainment. They are a form of ministry. A form of ministry that helps draw us into the Lord that much more. Help us walk the straight and narrow. There are many of them that have some very good content that we can repeat. You learn them. You sing them during the day. It helps you keep God in your thoughts continuously. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, they two shall be one flesh. Are we living the kind of examples in front of our children? As the husbands and wives, are they fighting? Are they arguing? Are they devoted to the Lord? As we were speaking earlier about living our lives as an example that we can teach others around us. This is mentioned in here, the husband and wives, because it is so important that we as family have the kind of relationship that Jesus gave us the example of, to love each other so much, just as he has loved the church and has joined himself to the church. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. It's so important. And he goes on in chapter 6 and he speaks to the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may livest long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Instructions that we have concerning our behavior so that we can be the light of the world, so that we can look forward to everlasting life with Jesus Christ, so we can look forward to that beautiful, wonderful city that he speaks of in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That beautiful, wonderful city that we have to look forward to on the new earth that he's going to create, that in that city will be light 24 hours of the day. The sun won't have to shine in that because the light of Jesus Christ will illuminate that all the time. We'll be able to go in there, no matter if it's daytime or nighttime, go in there and it'll be lit up because the glory of God is in that. His light, his revealing light, his life that is in that light. And let us shine the light of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go, every single opportunity that we have, and not be partakers with the world in their darkness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. And thank you so much for your light that you shine into us and from us and to all those we encounter. Help us all to open up and be that light to shine out into everybody that we encounter this week. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.